folks. Welcome to Bold City Sports Talk. My name's Rob. With me is my good buddy, Ben. Ben, how you doing today, bud?
Doing great, man. How you doing?
Doing good. Wild weekend. I know it's a Monday. We're a little behind, but man, wild weekend in college football. Most notably, I mean, Wisconsin. Going from...
That was a heck of an upset.
I'm not sure who would have called... who would have potentially have called Illinois even standing a chance in that game, let alone beating them? I think a lot of people were betting on Wisconsin kind of being that dark horse sleeper team in that Big Ten West, seeing as nobody
absolutely
could rival them. And here comes Lovie Smith and the Fighting Illini to take down mighty Wisconsin.
I would have said the only other team that would contend for the that side of the conference in the Big Ten is probably going to be old PJ Fleck and the Minnesota Golden Gophers.
Yeah, that's right. Another kind of team that nobody really counted on beginning of the year. 6-0, if I'm not mistaken. I know they hadn't lost.
They're undefeated. Yes, sir.
Yeah, so, I mean, I know some would say they hadn't played anybody, which, you know, that's everybody's go-to, which is sometimes held accountable for some of these teams. Looking here at Minnesota, let's see who they've beaten this year. They got Georgia Tech, San Diego State, Fresno State, Georgia Southern, Purdue. They beat Illinois, something Wisconsin couldn't do, Nebraska, the lowly Nebraska, and Rutgers.
They got a big old matchup with Maryland.
Yeah. Another team that everybody was kind of gawking about at the beginning of the year. Was it back-to-back first and second games? I think they put up like 70 points, if I'm not mistaken, in both games. But Minnesota's got a big one coming up after this, which, I'll tell you what, and some are saying this about Minnesota. Could Maryland be a trap game? They might be looking ahead at Penn State's coming to town November 9th, who, they just took down Michigan over the weekend, I think, which was probably the best game of the day. Not really too many big thrillers this past weekend, but, man, that Penn State-Michigan game was fantastic. That was a really great game. 28-21.
Absolutely. That was definitely a... Yeah, that was definitely a sleeper over there in Athens.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Coming out of halftime scoreless.
Oh, you're talking about Georgia? You said Athens?
Yeah, it was nothing.
Georgia, Kentucky.
Yes.
Yeah, that was. I don't know what to make of Georgia. What are you thinking about Georgia? I mean, I know Florida, Georgia's coming up here shortly. I mean, kind of a mixed bag in my opinion. Of course they have that devastating loss to South Carolina, who Florida just beat, and a lot of people were thinking that maybe South Carolina could take down Florida, being at home and everything. Not the case. Florida just continues to prove people wrong.
Yeah.
College football has been funny.
Definitely a hard fought game.
Very much so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the better team came away at the end.
But that rain definitely played a factor into the kind of the offense being sluggish and a pass happy offense where necessarily run the ball very well, but Coach Boom has got those boys playing pretty tough football there in South Carolina. So sure. I'm intrigued to see what happens at the end of the year when they play Clemson and see if maybe they can't come out on top this year.
Yeah. Clemson's one of those teams, man. Everybody kind of just sitting there waiting for them to fall, whether or not they will. Only time will decide. I mean, I think we can all agree that the ACC is probably the worst conference in football this year. They just – nobody's putting up a fight, not named Clemson. Virginia was the team preseason that everybody was talking about. They already have two losses. Florida State has come out looking like I don't know what Georgia Tech is just playing Georgia Tech football. The, I mean, the second best team in the ACC is probably Pitt at this point, who took down our favorite, you know, national champions, UCF, and, you know, gave Penn State a fight for their money. So, I mean,
absolutely.
They probably look like the best team in the ACC as of right now. Let's jump around a little bit. We got the World Series, the two teams everybody called, the Houston Astros, which were, you know, they've been good the past few years, and the Washington Nationals, the Bryce Harperless Washington Nationals. I think this is the best story to come out of baseball this year, not named the juiced balls. No pun intended. Yeah,
absolutely. I would 100% agree.
Yeah, I think
I would definitely agree.
Yeah, I really believe that. You know, I've been saying it, I feel like, for a few years. I don't think Bryce Harper is what he's made himself out to be. The Philadelphia Phillies, of course, now more or less just looking foolish with this contract that they had him sign. He goes and leaves the team that couldn't leave that couldn't get out of the first round of the NLDS, and they, you know, they let him walk, and now they're in the World Series. So who's the clown now, Mr. Harper? I think that I think if anyone fell on their face this year, I think it was you. I just don't. I don't know. I don't think there's much left to be said anymore, besides the fact that that monstrosity of a contract will go down just in flames. And I mean, especially if the Nationals are able to pull it off and beat the Astros, I think everybody's going to look.
No, that would be
that'd be crazy.
That would be, yeah, that would be bittersweet for the Nationals for sure.
I think so. And I think Anthony Rendon will be the last man laughing, because a guy that nobody had talked about now looks like the saving grace for the Washington Nationals, and now the kid's about to get paid. I think
absolutely, man. He's got
go ahead, Benny.
Sorry about that. He's definitely the one that's going to be laughing to the bank, and yeah. You know, he's the clutch hitter. He's been the glue of that that whole lineup this season.
Absolutely.
Along with, you know, them having Juan Soto.
Yeah.
And then you got Turner leading off.
Yeah.
You got Turner leading off. One of the other guys that was solid in that lineup that I've been a big proponent for, you know, is I lost his name. The center fielder. He's I've seen him hit a couple of home runs to tie games or to even win games. You know?
You're talking about the rookie that came up behind Soto. His name now.
Robles. Victor Robles.
Yes. Yeah. I like what I see from him. I think Adam Eaton's a good little table setter there in right field. You got the infamous Ryan Zimmerman.
Sure.
The first ever draft pick by the Washington Nationals coming up clutch. You know, you can't argue that Strasburg is clearly having the best season he's ever had. I mean, he stayed healthy. You know, and there was one thing I had heard. I love, you know, I just love spring training baseball. I think it's fantastic, even if it doesn't count. I just love watching it, because you get to watch a lot of these young guys kind of, you know, try to make a name for themselves.
Sure.
Look at Pete Alonso. I mean, a perfect example why spring training really is, in my honest opinion, a little bit underrated, but what are you going to do? Steven Strasburg.
Who called him making the big.
Yeah.
Who called Alonso making the team out of spring training, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
And the Mets had to take a chance on him for that. And
sure,
the boy hit, you know, a record number of home runs this year.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what was the total?
Broke Mr. Judge's. Yeah. Broke Mr. Judge's record.
Yeah. Juice balls or not juice balls. That's still a really great story to come out of Queens, because we all know that they need it. And, Pete Alonso, man, I mean, he looks like the real deal. All right, he had 53. My apologies, not 54. But yeah, kudos to him. Tampa kid, you know, 24 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's just, yeah, he new king of New York, man. I think that's a great story. And
yes, sir.
Another kid I've really loved about from the Mets, and I'm really excited to watch him play full time next year because they didn't give him the full time opportunity for most of the season.
McNeil.
I love Jeff McNeil. I think he's a phenomenal hitter. But JD Davis, a guy
I've talked about
a lot this year. I mean, you break down his numbers,
sure.
Extrapolate those numbers. The Mets are going to have another killer bat in that lineup full time. They just need to play the
sure.
But to kind of piggyback a little more onto the Nationals, I was watching spring training with him pitching, and they said he's pitching out of the stretch this year. And it seems as if they're starting to teach these kids now, pitch out of the stretch. There's no reason for the long windups anymore. And he stayed healthy all season. And clearly sure. They were onto something about him. I mean, this is a guy riddled, I mean, what, 5, 6, 7 years in the big leagues that I can't even off the top of my head, I don't think he's ever pitched 200 innings. And sure he either hit it this year or came very close to it. And then, you know, you got the electric Max Scherzer, a very under the radar signing with the kid they got from the Braves. Pitcher.
Oh, you talking about
– almost.
Well, they got Anibal Sanchez.
Anibal
Sanchez.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean
– and then you've also got – you got the sneaky pickup of Kurt Suzuki as well.
Absolutely. No, I think so too. I mean, I mean outside of a Yankees catcher, Gary Sanchez, or there's not much offense coming from the catcher position these days. And I mean, he's a kid that he'll hit you, you know, well over double digit home runs and hit a respectable average. And Strasburg, he did. In fact, he went 209 innings this year. I mean, he just very impressed by the way the Nationals one held their ground with offering Harper a contract and was steadfast with it. And look, I mean, clearly made the right decision. A lot of those Nats fans were very angry at the fact that they didn't retain him. But man, they're going to be laughing. You know, they're going to be laughing all the way to the World Series now at this point while Bryce Harper sits on his ass in Philly and collects a paycheck for being a mediocre player at best. The Phillies are a mess. Let's jump around a little more. NFL this week. I think we wanted to talk about Jalen Ramsey's back, everybody. He's back. Everybody rejoice. Oh, wait. He's not a Jacksonville Jaguar anymore. As I'm sure everybody knows, he was traded to the Los Angeles Rams. I feel like the Jags were holding off to trade him for an opportunity like this. They got 2 first-round draft picks and a 4th-round draft pick. For undoubtedly the best corner in the NFL. Absolutely. But for a small market team, they knew they weren't going to lock him up. Again, in the offseason, I remember reading an article, I believe it was on ESPN, where they asked Jalen Ramsey where else he would want to play. And my biggest concern during that article as I was reading it is the fact that he answered the question. And I was just like, man, this clearly goes to show he doesn't want to be in Jacksonville. And, you know, whatever it was for him back or, you know, having a child or, you know, whatever. I mean, the team could have used him. You know, I think it's a young team. I think in some ways they can be exciting. But I'm worried more or less. I'm not worried about losing Ramsey. I'm worried about the ramifications on the team now. Now Fournette's not happy. Like, oh, no. Like, you know, the team needed him. He could have played, you know, could have, I think, single-handedly won at least one of those four losses that we have so far. Wouldn't have struggled with a freaking 0-6 Bengals team. I mean, whatever. He's got back problems, so he's back and everything. I think the Packers are proving to everybody that they look like legitimate. They look like a legitimate team again. I think Aaron Rodgers is putting up some freaking gaudy numbers. I know he killed it over this weekend while he sat on my bench in fantasy football.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I don't know. What do you think about the whole Ramsey debacle? Where do you think that could have gotten? I mean, did it get too messy? Do you think we could have gotten a better trade? I don't think we could have got a better trade, but I don't know. What do you think?
I like the trade. You know, you got the first round picks, and then what was it? Was it the third or fourth round pick?
I want to say it was a fourth round pick, if I'm not mistaken.
You know,
I'll look it up real quick.
Was it a fourth? Okay, I thought it was. Yeah, I really think that what they got, that was what they were looking for. It's solid. Again, you know, you're placing your bet on prospects, and he's a proven corner in the NFL. I mean, proven lockdown corner in the NFL. So to replace him is not going to be an easy ticket.
No,
but you know, there's a lot of lockdown corners coming out of college. It's just, you know, you're going to have to wait for them to adjust to the speed of the NFL.
Sure.
And I mean, it all around is not really fun, because, you know, we had that guy. I wish we could have done something to keep him, but if he's not happy, he doesn't need to be in our locker room. And I think, you know, a lot of the media around here, you know, has kind of said it seems like you got to get rid of a cancer in your locker room. And if he doesn't want to be here, let him, you know, let him go play somewhere else, and we'll go ahead and support the guys that want to play here.
Sure.
And you know, That's all you can do, really, in this situation. And unfortunately, guys come and go in the NFL, and it's just business as usual, you know.
Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, to clarify this trade too as well, Jalen Ramsey was traded to the Los Angeles Rams for their 2020 and 2021 first round pick, as well as their 2021 fourth round pick. So, and first rounds, but I mean, you know. Another thing that almost concerns me, and this will just be something to watch, and again, you know, only time will tell, is I the Jags as of late have gotten better with their draft picks, but it also isn't a slam dunk, any, you know, with how these guys draft. Excuse me. It's definitely not a guarantee. Even though they are first round, the Rams are a pretty good team. You know, I mean, like, this might not even be a top 20 pick, you know, which is also,
sure.
You know, again, not being a slam dunk. Now, this is pretty interesting. I did not know this. Jalen Ramsey wanted to go to the Chiefs, but the Jaguars refused to trade him there. It looks as if he requested to get traded, which is just hysterical these days. Now these players are, oh yeah, where do you? Oh, not only do you not want to play for us, but what team do you want to go to? The Rams, Chiefs, so ridiculous. Rams, Chiefs, Ravens, Eagles, and Raiders. So, congratulations, Jalen Ramsey. You know, best of luck to you in LA. But could have used you here, man. And wish you were still wearing the teal and black. But what are you gonna do? What else we got?
We just got to move on and support our guys. You know, they'll find somebody. I can 100% guarantee you that they're going to draft, and hopefully, you know, we can get that guy in here and up to speed. You know, making some tackles and locking down and shut down these top wide receivers in the league.
Yeah,
but you know, it's. The Jaguars, at the end of the day, they're going to keep on playing, man, and they're still going to be here, you know, with him or without him.
Yeah, so. I mean, that's all they can really do. excuse me. We do have we're on the cusp of the NBA season starting, guys. Tomorrow is opening day. I don't know how you want to call that. Got a couple games in place, I know, but the big story, Zion Williamson. The coveted Duke phenom who went number one to the New Orleans Pelicans. That's right, not the New York Knicks, as everybody was hoping, and himself underwent surgery on his knee and will now miss 6 to 8 weeks. Not the way the Pelicans were hoping this was going to happen. Young kid, you know, recovery time shouldn't be too bad. I don't think it'll be too lingering. I hate more than anything, it doesn't matter what sport, guys with injuries young. You know, I mean, I can think of off the top of my head, Portland Trailblazers center Greg Oden, who got taken, yep, I want to say number one over a Mr. Kevin Durant.
Yep, that guy rings really all the bells that I can think of when you mention a rookie that was injury prone and plagued his whole entire career.
Yeah, yeah, and you know, not thinking that Zion will, but not the right foot. You know, this guy, you know, I don't know how much really you've seen of him at all, Ben, but man, you know, just good for the game of basketball. Dude seems like a really good kid, good head on his shoulders, you know, just wants to play the game. And for New Orleans' sake,
can always, you know, appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, they went and traded Oh, absolutely. And they traded their previous face of the franchise, Anthony Davis, to the Lakers in the offseason. I mean, they were prepared for this guy to become the New Orleans Pelican, man. And hate to see that. Hate seeing that news. I'm like, oh, man. But, you know, I mean, this will be an interesting NBA season. A lot of shakeup, a lot of new faces in new places, as they say. And it'll be fun. I mean, a lot of people are jumping on the Laker bandwagon. I still don't get it, being honest. I get it that, you know, you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, but I still look at that team, and from top to bottom, I don't see it. They traded the house, essentially, not named LeBron James, for Anthony Davis. And I would just hate to see and think of that team being 5-15, and then suddenly LeBron James isn't happy again, and then the LeBron James show is in full effect. But
as seen in the NBA, it takes a lot more than just him to win championships. It takes a lot of good support cast around him.
Yeah, no, I mean, it is definitely. I mean, the Warriors essentially redefined basketball again by going, hey, it's not one, two big guys anymore. Yeah. It's a team. It's a team effort. And it's a refreshing because, I mean, that basketball really, to me, was starting to hit a lull. And, yeah, I mean, I credit the Warriors for kind of showing, like, hey, start hitting threes. You know, the basketball essentially did what baseball did. Baseball said, wait a second.
Sure thing.
If we start scoring more runs, we'll start winning more baseball games. And basketball said, wait a second, 3 points are more than 2 points. And baseball swinging for the fences. Huh? Yeah, exactly. Baseball's swinging for the fences while basketball, you know, is from way downtown. So, but again, I think it's good. I think it's good for the game. And I think, you know, the NBA, to me, is starting to get more enjoyable. I think last year, watching the Toronto Raptors win their first ever championship, I think was one of the coolest things in the world. We got to see in the NHL, the St. Louis Blues won their first championship ever. And, you know, baseball, we might be looking again, you know, to go back and come full circle. The Nationals are in contention, essentially 4 games away from winning a World Series, a lot closer than the Phillies and Bryce Harper. I just, man, that guy let's see what else we got. Anything you can think of that you want to talk about, Benny? Anything off the top of your head that feel like chewing on?
Well, we've got the big coveted LSU-Alabama matchup coming up, and Tua Tagovailoa
good call.
Looks to have had the tightrope surgery on his other ankle for a high ankle sprain, as he had last year, which I may add, he was at 80% basically the rest of the year. Well, after having that surgery, you know, he's got 3 weeks to prepare, and kind of get better for it. Cam Robinson, you know, I believe it was Cam Robinson several years ago had the same surgery, and he had 2 weeks before, or excuse me, it was not Cam. Yeah, it was Cam Robinson. He had 2 weeks to heal up before they played LSU. Being that Louisiana was his home state, he definitely wasn't going to miss that game. So, you know, we'll see what Tua is looking like when they go to play LSU and when that high ranked offense, which, you know, we've talked about them, that scoring percentage that they have is the best that it's ever been. Yeah. And when they have that, that stat in their back pocket, they've won championships. So looks like they have a plus 188 points differential there through, well, that was through six games. So I'm not sure what it increased to after this weekend, but they did absolutely destroy Mississippi State.
Mississippi State is just one of those teams this year that I was high on with Joe Moorhead and seeing
me too
center, and man, they have just fallen on their face this year. I mean, that is and you know who's another team thinking of the SEC right now is Texas A&M. What's going on
I don't know they and Jimbo better figure something out soon, because that, you know, that team, you know, that school hired him to bring a national championship back to Texas A&M, and the way it's going is not the greatest. I think the biggest thing is he's got to get a quarterback. Sure. I'm not sure that Kellerman is going to get it done for him. I mean, he's doing okay, but I mean, you go back. Can look at what Jimbo's had.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston, hands down, one of the best college quarterbacks there ever has been to play the game. You know, that was his coveted quarterback that helped lead him to the promised land at FSU. You look at a lot of these teams that win national championships in that form. You know, he got Jameis, what, his second year there at FSU? I think it was his second year. You go back, you look at Urban Meyer had Tebow his second year. You got to have that splash quarterback commit, and I think in a lot of ways that's really kind of what's holding FSU back at the moment right now.
Sure.
With Willie Taggart, you know, it's something that has to happen. I mean, you go back and you look at Clemson, somewhere where they're starting to see success is when as the quarterback position got better. You know, I think it kind of started with Kyle Parker, and then they had Taj Boyd, and then, you know, it just kind of went better, got better and better and better from there on. So, I think he's going to have to get a quarterback there at Texas A&M. I mean, Texas A&M has always had excellent offensive linemen coming out of there. I mean, you go and look, there's a ton of Texas A&M offensive linemen playing in the NFL. Definitely guys on defense playing and making big money now too. So, again, I think it's going to be, he needs to get his guy in there, and I'm telling you what, man, that Texas recruiting line is not going to get any easier with the Longhorns knocking on the door. And then you've got Dana Holgorsen that's coming in from West Virginia, and he's a Texas rooted guy. So I know he's going to be coming after guys as well. So it's a hefty, it's going to be a hefty traffic fold area there. With as far as recruiting, so he's going to have to definitely do his homework and get in the ears of some kids. So,
well, let's.
He's got his work cut out for him.
I agree. And since we're talking about Texas, man, give me your 2 cents on the Longhorns. What are we looking at this year with Texas, man? I mean, you know, they played LSU crazy close, and then just this last week, you know, that mind you, they lost that nail biter to Oklahoma. It's just this last week. I mean, they allowed Kansas to put up like 40-plus points. Kansas. I don't care if Les Miles is coaching the team or not. It's Kansas. Like, man, what are we looking at here, man, in Texas, man?
You know, if you'd have come to me at the beginning of the year, you know, buying and selling, I'd have bought a lot of Texas shares, and I'm not sure what's going on with them.
I don't either. You know, I think this is Tom Herman's, what, third year in Texas? You know, I think
it's a second.
Is it a second? I'm going to take a look either way.
Let's verify that. You might be right. It may be his third year.
He's 21-12, and I'm guessing that's got to be his Texas Longhorn record. I mean, that's not terrible, but will Tom Herman, like the Scott Frosts of the world, leave a great position, or the Chip Kellys of the world, you want to say, when he left Oregon to go to the NFL? I still always will scratch my head over that decision. Did he have it really good somewhere, try to get a better job, and is just kind of stalling out a little bit? I mean, Scott Frost in Nebraska right now, mind you, I know this is only his second year, but man,
yeah,
when you're looking up at Minnesota in the ranks in your division, come on.
Yep. Actually, you're right. This is his third year. That makes sense, because this is Scott Frost's second year.
This is Scott Frost's second
year. Scott Frost. Yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah. I don't think per se that he left a perfectly good job at Houston, just because he had hit his max and his ceiling at Houston. That just goes to show you that the playoff needs to expand, because I think Houston not being in one of the power or one of those, you know, not being in the Big 12,
Big Five,
it definitely hurts. Well, yeah, the Big Five, but them not being in the Big 12 over in that area definitely hurts you. I don't know that he was going to win a national championship at Houston, which, in, you know, by all intents and purposes, is sad, because, you know, Houston used to be a huge program back in the 80s, I believe. Cutting them out to where it's hard for them to get into the national championship is just crazy.
Yeah.
But I think he reached his ceiling at Houston, just because of how the conference system is set up right now and how the national championship is set up in the playoff system. So to win a national championship, he was going to have to go to a bigger school, and Texas came knocking on the door. And plus, Texas is where he kind of got his start at. And, you know, I think it was always his dream, probably, to get back to Texas,
I believe,
in some shape or fashion. I don't think in this case. I think this was he wants to raise his ceiling and get to the next level, and this is the highway to doing it. I don't know why Texas isn't any better than they are this year. I would have bought them at the beginning of the year. I just feel like it's been a long road since 2005, when they won the national championship. It hasn't been quite the same. I mean, they've had some good teams. I mean, last year, I wouldn't consider last year a bad year. I mean, that was a great bowl win they had against Georgia. You know, they haven't won national championships, but they've had winning seasons. You know, to win a championship, it's tough, man. It's real tough.
I mean, a couple things you said.
I guess
said
not,
like,
for the sakes of
a Bama or
I guess not for the sakes of Alabama. Yeah, Bama or Clemson. right now. They're on top of the world right now, but I mean, it's they'll get phased out eventually, and then they'll be in that top 10, but not in that elite, you know, top 5. You got to be elite to be in that top 5.
I think
we see some teams approaching that.
I agree. And let me ask you, does LSU pull a Clemson of last year and just steamroll Alabama, or is it a really great game?
I feel like it'll be a steamroll.
Yeah. All right.
Or could be a steamroll. I feel like it could be a steamroll.
That might be the game of the. I mean, on paper, yeah, 1-2, if that's how it shakes out. But man, that's going to be an awesome game. Man, that's going to be that.
I think the two best games of the year.
Shoot.
No, I think the two best games of the year is going to be Alabama, LSU, and Penn State, Ohio State.
That potential, if Penn State and Ohio State meet each other undefeated, absolutely. If Penn State loses again mm-hmm. to like a Michigan State who they haven't beaten them the last two seasons. I agree with you 100%, but sure. Neither team, and I don't think Ohio State's losing to anybody. I'm just being honest.
I agree with you.
I just think that – I think Justin Fields – we were chatting about this on – was it Saturday or Sunday morning? Of the three quarterbacks they let go, they probably let go of what's easily looking like the best quarterback in college this year. We saw that one sure. statistic that was crazy about comparing Jake Fromm's numbers are essentially equal to that of Trask from the Gators. And Trask yes. didn't even start the season.
Yes.
And oh boy.
Game
three, yeah. In the Kentucky game, mm-hmm. you got Eason doing his thing in the West Coast with a coach who I actually really do like.
Sure.
Washington coach. I think that dude knows what he's doing.
Chris Peterson?
Yeah, Peterson. Yeah.
He's
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah. Where did he – Boise
great
State,
coach.
Right? Wasn't he originally with
Boise State, baby.
Dude, and that another great game this past weekend, Boise State. Boise yeah. State taking yeah, upset. The L. Against yeah. Who was it?
I never would have thought that. It was BYU, man. The mighty Brigham Young.
Yeah.
Brigham Young Cougars.
And Brigham Young, they've had kind of an up and down
season.
Now that means between Wisconsin and Boise State, how many teams are left undefeated now? Is it seven or
let's see.
Yeah.
Let's look at our AP there. I think you've got Alabama, yeah. LSU, Ohio State, Oklahoma, Penn State. Mm. And I think that is all six.
So it's six? One. Yeah, you're right. Top six are all undefeated. Baylor is 7-0, and Minnesota 7-0, SMU 7-0, App State 6-0. Oh.
I forgot about Baylor.
It is that close. Yeah. Baylor is, and again, you want to talk about another great coach. I think a coach in the making,
man.
From Temple. You know, what the heck is his name?
Matt Rhule.
Matt Rhule, yeah.
Matt Rhule.
I love what he's doing over there. Everybody counted them at Oklahoma State this past weekend, and they smoke checked them 45-27. And people, 27 points in the Big 12 is like 3 points in the Big Ten or the SEC. Let's be honest.
Sure. Hey, we forgot SMU too. They're undefeated.
Yep. Yeah, SMU. They're looking good. It's cool, I guess, kind of seeing Boise State. Let's wrap this up. Let's talk about the AP poll real quick. Something we're both starting to get excited about.
Sure.
Because the playoffs, the playoff poll is going to be coming out here. So the thing that really matters. I mean, we've been chatting. I'm not going to be shocked if LSU's number one, Ohio State's number two in the playoff poll. I'm not going to be shocked.
Oh, I would. I would be perfectly cool with that. I think that's correct.
I think absolutely. I think LSU, Ohio State, and let's keep Bama and Clemson in it. That's fine. Have they really played anybody? That's per it's per whatever it is you want to believe. And if you really believe UNC is a good team, then you should go check yourself into a hospital or something. But I think, in my opinion, talk about top four real quick. LSU, Ohio State, Alabama, and then Clemson. And you got Oklahoma and Penn State chomping at the bit to get into that top four right now.
Uh-huh.
And I mean,
I'd almost say OU might have more impressive wins than Clemson, and Penn State might have more impressive wins than Clemson, because the only team Clemson's beat this year is Texas A&M, and they are just sputtering.
Are terrible. And Clemson, I totally agree with you. And as of right now, LSU, and I want to say Penn State, I don't think Oklahoma has, are the only two teams that have beaten current ranked opponents right now. Two. We're talking about two.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Bama has mm-hmm. zero. Clemson has zero. And somehow they're 1-4. And I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying mm-hmm. you have to, but I mean, Duke to start the season for Bama, you know, and mm-hmm. I know New Mexico State, Ole Miss, I mean, and then Clemson. Yeah, you said Texas A&M, who they're not even ranked right now. Charlotte.
No, they're out of the top 25.
UNC. And, you know, for most of the part, I'm not going to lie, it's not the Clemson's fault that the ACC is trash.
Mm-mm.
It's the ACC's fault for being just a complete trash bag of a freaking conference right now. And, I mean, while the Pac-12s, they're trying. They're trying to make a little comeback. I love Oregon and Utah this year. I think two teams will end the season in the top 10 because Notre Dame will lose to Absolutely. Michigan next week. Mark that down.
Oh, Michigan yeah.
will
yeah,
beat Notre Dame. That is in the Big House. I think Notre Dame, that loss again against Georgia right now looks, that is a black and blue loss. And, you know, all losses are bad. Man. So, and how Georgia stays at number 10 after losing to a then 2-3 South Carolina. That's just, you don't believe in SEC bias, people. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
It's alive and well.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me. That's a 15th ranked team. Anyway, I think Baylor's a
Uh-oh.
What do you got?
Another undefeated team we missed, Appalachian State.
Yeah. No, yeah, they're number 21. Yeah, I mean, I think there is, what, about 11? 1, 2, 3. There's 9. Yeah, okay, that makes sense. So originally it was 11, and then Boise mm-hmm. State and Wisconsin went down. I mean, so Wisconsin, where were they? They were 6. They lose mm-hmm. to an Illinois and drop to 13. Georgia was what, a 2 or 3, and they dropped to a 10. I mean, I guess that makes sense. Maybe
they were number 3.
So they dropped 7 spots. Okay.
Yeah.
But this is, again, you know, everybody's getting black and blue over the AP. This doesn't mean anything in, what, 1 to 2 weeks? None of this.
How is Baylor not in the top 10?
I know. Because they're the Big 12, and it took everybody forever to start noticing them. But at the same time, I mean, shoot, friggin' Stephen F. Austin. You got the UTSA, and you got Rice. That's how you start the mm-hmm. season. And then you play Iowa State, who's been terrible this year. Kansas State, who made that brief cameo into the top 25 not too long ago. Texas Tech, who somehow faltered. Who did they just? Texas Tech just lost to somebody over the weekend. I just couldn't believe it. Iowa State. No.
Yeah. The Cyclones.
The Cyclones. But I think Baylor's a fun team to watch. I think Utah's defense is something special. Me going out and saying Michigan is going to beat Notre Dame that's my big claim, man. I'll even go out as far to say I think they'll make Notre Dame look silly. I think Michigan has learned a lot from that loss against Wisconsin. I do.
Sure.
They're not the same team. They are not the same team that went to double overtime with Army. And for everybody calling for Jim Harbaugh's head, I think that's foolish because, I mean, they literally could have tied that Penn State game up. That poor kid just dropped the touchdown. I mean, it wasn't defense or anything.
Oh, that was just
dropped the ball.
That was a bad effort.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was, but, you know, I think an almost worse effort was the Penn State coaching in the second half, I think, was just a little too vanilla.
Fell apart.
Yeah, a little too mm-hmm. Try to waste the clock and you know, whatever. Wake Forest is number 25.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that.
Yeah, a big fan of what, Benny?
I'm not a big fan of the let's play to not to lose. I want them to play to win. Keep scoring points, man.
I agree. There's no such thing as running up a score. You know why? Because you never know. When a team, it doesn't matter who you play, man. Everybody I was talking to, Penn State's going to cream Michigan. I was like, no, they're not. I was like, this is going to be a close game. Because was Penn State the better team on the field? Yeah, they ended up winning by one more bigger play. Problem is, Michigan didn't have the big plays. Like, it was, I mean, talk mm-hmm. about very considerate excuse me, talk about a very, what's the word I'm looking for? Not considerate.
Vanilla. Conservative.
Conservative, thank you. Very conservative offense. I mean, the biggest pass I think I saw all game was like a 12-yarder. You know what I mean? And if
yep,
the opposing quarterback, Sean Clifford's throwing 50-yard bombs, which I think Penn State has produced, in my honest opinion, the best wide receiver in the game right now in KJ Hamler. Undersized, yes.
Hamler's
hands of Jerry Rice and freaking Randy Moss. That dude just, and he's quick. That guy's legit. And he's quick, man. I
think, yes, sir.
I read one thing that was pretty interesting, saying this was Sean Clifford's ever seventh start compared to Shea Patterson, and I was way more impressed with Sean Clifford. And I mean, that first half, at least, I mean, he just was, it looked like Penn State was about to blow him out of the water. But, you know, Michigan, they did what they had to do. Again, that's why I don't believe that you're never running up a score, because on my spin, you just never freaking know. You never know what corrections can be made. And Michigan made, you know, they adjusted in the second half and they proved to the world, like, hey, look, we're still a very solid football team. Like, you know, just because they've had some shaky outings, they're going to happen. They're going to happen in college. That's why I always say, you know, and I'm sure I'm not the only one says this, the first week in college football, dude, you don't know what to expect. You never know.
Sure.
You know, the Appalachian State against Michigan, that infamous year, dude, you know, a game that I don't, that I always kind of point to whenever people want to tell me, you know, Texas is back. They lost to Maryland week one last year. Maryland.
How about that Charlie Strong game from a couple of years ago when they played Notre Dame?
Yeah.
And they blew them out. And yes. And then it's, oh, well, Texas is back.
Yeah.
I was like, no, Notre Dame's terrible.
Yeah, Notre Dame. So. And here's my plea. You know, I know Rudy's not watching. I know, you know, head coach might not be listening in to our little conversation here, but join a conference, please. Notre Dame, please. Go wherever you, I don't even, you, partial be. ACC is like, it just,
I want LeBron them in the Big Ten.
LeBron James playing college basketball. And, you know, Big Ten, I don't even care where he goes. Big Ten, I think, would be cool only for the sole fact they have such classic teams. You know, the Ohio States.
You know, I agree.
Michigan, Penn State.
Oh, I agree.
I mean, even Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Like, God, man, you know, I want to root for Nebraska. But come on. Come on. You know, we both talked at the beginning of this year, and I know you were saying, I think Nebraska will take a huge step forward. I agreed with you.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, yeah, I agree. Like, why not? Everybody was just all over their quarterback, Martinez, and
yeah.
I mean, they're just a disgrace.
And that was kind of the argument I had was, you know, he went down early, right. And, you know, I'm thinking, okay, he's going to be healthy. They should have no problem competing for that side of the Big Ten.
Right.
And boy, was I wrong.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's, but that, you know, it's also what makes laughable is the preseason rankings. Why is, okay.
Yep.
Last year never happened. Okay. And we're seven weeks deep. Let's just say last year we're 7 weeks deep. And I'm telling you the number one and number four team haven't played a single opponent that's ranked right now. Would you believe me? And I don't that's even just, tell you the team names or anything, but you're thinking in your head, who?
Bama
and Clemson, right?
I'm definitely thinking Bama and Clemson's up there and probably OU.
Yeah. Well, Oklahoma's got the Texas win, but you know, again, give it to Lincoln Riley, the future Dallas Cowboy head coach. You know it's going to happen. And you know more than likely, Jalen Hurts, I think, ends up getting the Heisman this year. I just have this sneaking suspicion they're really building him up. But you know what? I'm worried, or I'm thinking college is worried about, is he kind of, yes, the story's great, but is it kind of boring? Is it kind of a boring storyline? Okay, we get it. essentially was pushed out of Bama for a kid who, I mean, let's be honest, proved to be better than him. He goes into a, my honest opinion, a weaker conference in the Big 12, where it's, where it is more offense, where it is more run and gun, where there is less defense, and he's succeeding. Like, Joe Burrow is a better storyline than Jalen Hurts, in my opinion. A guy who was lost in Ohio State's bench goes and creates the best offense LSU has ever had. That's a better story.
We're talking about SEC records that guy's breaking.
Yeah.
Not we're, just LSU records. We're talking about conference records.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
The best of the best, in my opinion, man.
Like, no, I
think Justin Fields.
I agree with you.
Is a better story. I think Trevor Lawrence having a bad season after everybody was the Messiah quarterback. I think that's a better story.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts at Oklahoma is just about as, in my honest opinion, and especially after, and kudos to Lincoln Riley. I'm not taking anything away from that or what he's doing with these quarterbacks. I mean, two of the last Heisman have been Alabama quarterbacks, and we're potentially looking at third, but cool. It was like,
you mean Oklahoma?
Excuse me, Oklahoma. What did I say?
You said Alabama.
Sorry, I'm reading Bama. It's no kind of like the Bulls back in the 90s. Oh, the Bulls won a championship again.
Sure.
Or it's like the Patriots. Oh, the Patriots. And I hate to say
because
a great, it is a great story, but I still think they're a better storyline. In the in college this year, I really, really
do. Yeah. Well, let's go back to your predictions for the top four this year. If you had to put somebody at the top of the list for the Heisman this year, and I would have guessed him, I would have guessed Trevor Lawrence, and I don't understand what's going on over there. He threw more interceptions the first couple of games than he did all year last year. So, I you know, something that we've talked about, defenses are figuring him out.
Yeah, there's a little more tape on the kid, you know, like I still think this guy's going to be fine. I think a lot of people are blown.
Oh, I do too.
But I do believe in my heart of hearts, Clemson and Bama, again, like, let's look at strength of schedule. Like, I'm not seeing it. So anyway, if I were 7 weeks in, almost, you know, what, halfway, it's just hard to believe, halfway done with the season.
Yeah. Oh, it's flown by.
I think LSU's number one. I think Ohio State's number two. And then, like I said, go ahead and keep Bama and Clemson 3 and 4. But, man, you have a hungry Oklahoma and Penn State team. You have two teams sitting there waiting for one of these teams to either
falter or
play them. You know, we're again, you brought it up, and I think it's a great point. If Penn State and Ohio State could be a great game if both are undefeated. Because in a lot of cases, Ohio State hasn't seen a Penn State defense like this. And that team, Micah Parsons, is a guy that's going to be playing in the NFL for a long, long time. He is that dude is amazing, you know, and I think, you know, very similar to Penn State with Michigan State, they've lost to Ohio State the last two. You know, like, it's kind of funny. Penn State almost kind of going on a little bit of a quote unquote revenge tour, as Michigan dubbed it, until they got walloped by Ohio State there at the end of the season. I think Florida sitting at seven is, I think, you know, I really believe that. I think Florida's back. I think I really like that kid behind Trask. I'm very intrigued to watch him next year.
Yeah, me too. And like we were saying earlier, that's a quarterback that Dan Mullen had to get. He couldn't miss on him last year last year in recruiting.
Sure.
Or wait a minute, no, I think that was his first year. But that was a kid that Emory Jones that he could not miss on. You know, he needed to get that splash recruit at quarterback. Franks, you know, I still don't get all the terminology there with him. You know, he was going to take you further.
Sure, sure.
I think Trask is showing by all intents and purposes, he was probably the better choice. I I really wish he wouldn't have broken his foot last year after, you know, in between the South Carolina and Missouri game, because I think he may have established himself as a starter from then on.
Sure.
But, you know, Felipe's still got a ton of talent. You know, if he goes and chooses to play baseball, I'm sure he's going to be excellent at that. If he keeps on playing football, I'm sure he's going to be excellent at that. He's a competitor, and he's very talented.
Yeah, I mean, I think Florida's in good hands. I think this is the best we've seen them, man, in a long time, man. I just, it's a team every week. I think everybody was just, oh, no. And even people were, oh, the most overrated top 10 team. And I think this sure. past three games, man, they've really proven themselves. Auburn, LSU, and South Carolina. Because, again, that LSU score, I thought was going to be worse than that. And I think everybody else was thinking the same dang thing. And then a lot of people thought that Florida was going to falter there in South Carolina, man, and they just kept fighting. And they played a really great game.
Yeah.
And they got a bye week to rest up against Georgia next week, which, again, is one of, you know, you were talking about one of some of the best games in college, dude. Come on, man. How do you not mark, you
critical know,
the biggest outdoor martini party, whatever the hell they call it, but
cocktail party.
Cocktail party. Thank you. Martini.
If you plan a wedding, if you plan a wedding on that weekend, that's sacrilegious.
Yeah, I don't want to talk to you. Like, will you be my best man? I don't ever want to talk to you again. And then, all honesty, I think with Florida, I mean, I think they end up a top 10 team. I mean, you play Georgia, you play Vandy, you play Missouri and FSU. I don't see Florida losing those games, man. I mean, I think they're going to beat Georgia. I think that will be a grudge match. Florida, Georgia will be Penn State, Michigan. It'll be the same freaking game. I guarantee it. I will guarantee it.
Yeah.
To a score. Well, man.
Yeah, you talk about Michigan State not being able to beat Ohio State. One of Florida's, you know, kryptonite teams there that they have an issue with beating is Missouri.
Yeah.
I think honestly at this point, yeah, and it's a tough place to play, and usually it'll be a noon game, and it's it's just one of those tough games to get up for. So I think what happens is, you know, I guess you could say that the East is going to run through those two games, winning the SEC East, the Florida Georgia game, and then the Missouri game. So, you know, they might want to worry about Vanderbilt too, because Vanderbilt just upset Missouri this weekend. So, never know.
Yeah.
Never know. Any given Saturday.
It's true. It is any given Saturday. That is for sure. Let's take a couple more minutes. Let's look at the week ahead, and I think we should wrap it up there, Benny, if that's cool with you. I believe when we were talking, I think we were
what we got coming this week.
Some pretty good games. Where are we in week 9? Mm-hmm. God, that's even just blows my mind.
Yeah.
Oh, SMU at Houston.
I can't wait for rivalry week.
Oh man, you and me both.
So that's Wisconsin, one of my favorite weeks.
Yeah, go ahead, Benny.
That's one of my favorite weeks is the rivalry week. When you know, you got like you got Florida State, Florida. You've got let's see. Let me look at the other ones we got going on that week. It's usually the last week in football.
Mm-hmm. I think you have Washington. Well, actually, technically, State, or they already played, didn't they?
I think they already played technically the last week of football, you got the Army Navy game.
Yes. Everybody loves the Army Navy game. Of course, man.
That's another one. It's like, don't bug me at 3:30 when that one's played on.
The only game of the day too. October 25th is Friday, USC at Colorado. Fun little, non-ranked game, but yeah, Wisconsin at Ohio State. So number 13 versus 3, does Wisconsin come out for, you know, to rival that loss? I mean, they still have a legit defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, this will be Ohio State's probably biggest defensive front. Oklahoma at Kansas State. Now there's an interesting little matchup. Kansas State looked like they were kind of coming back around this year, but I mean, their two losses against Oklahoma State and Baylor, they've both proven to be pretty good teams this year. TCU, them taking a dump midway through the season this year has been weird. I thought they were kind of coming back around. Miami and Pitt, there's a fun little ACC matchup for you. Nevada at Wyoming.
FSU and Syracuse might be good.
Dude, Auburn LSU, that's right at 3:30. Oh, my gosh. So that's great. Penn State, Michigan
that's gonna
State.
Be a, there's another one. That's going to be a good one.
Oklahoma State at Iowa State. Mm-hmm. There's a fun one. That's a fun game. And again, is Minnesota overlooking Maryland for the Penn State game? I don't know. Maybe. You never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Arizona at Stanford.
Absolutely.
That's not too shabby. South Carolina at Tennessee. That's not a bad SEC game. UCF at Temple. There's mm-hmm. a fun one. Now, there's a fun game.
Oh, yeah.
Temple's sure. had a couple upset wins this year. I mean, they knocked off SMU just this past past week? No, they didn't knock off
SMU. I believe so.
SMU won. Never mind.
Yeah. SMU
beat Memphis.
No, that's right.
Apologies. That's a Temple beat Memphis.
That's right.
Arizona State at UCLA. UCLA taking mm-hmm. the last win against Stanford and have won now two of the last four games. Missouri at Kentucky, sure. That'll be fun. Cal at Utah, that might not be too good. Ooh, Washington State at Oregon, late game, 10:30 ESPN. Let's watch that.
Yeah, that one will be legit.
Yeah, that one will be legit.
I mean, can Mike Leach's upset, Oregon there?
Sure.
That's going to be a good one. So I like that Florida State Syracuse game. I mean, I think both of them are 3-4.
Yeah, both of them right? are bad.
So yeah,
I know. You're right. No, I like it.
Sometimes those kind of games are fun to watch. You know,
absolutely. Well, so. Benjamin, this was a success. We spoke for 1 hour and 1 minute and 43 seconds. So, that was fun. Anything else you want to kind of end it off with?
No, man. I think we covered a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We'll gear up and hit it back on Wednesday, hopefully.
Yeah. I'll let's do that. And good talking to you, man. Like you said, we'll gear it up on Wednesday and then try to do one sometime this week. And I definitely want to do the. Definitely a podcast before college football, man. We got to do that. That'd be so much fun.
Sounds good.
Well, it's Saturday morning, eating our egg sandwiches, drinking our coffee. That'll be fun.
That's right.
Benjamin, you Absolutely. Have a good night, buddy. I think I'm going to hit the hay now. And,
all right.
We'll reintervene Wednesday.
Myself as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you so much, guys, for listening. This is me, Bold City Sports Talk. Rob signing off. Benny, have a good one, buddy.
You too.